Pod Podcast, a podcast talking about all things anxiety. And today we have a coronavirus COVID-19 special, as I'm being inundated with questions about it, both in my practice and also in general, as someone who comments and about anxiety in the media and in psychology circles. I'm currently self-isolating in the countryside in Cheshire, very fortunate enough to do that, but I'm going to try and spend my time as best as I can to talk about this and keep working and trying to help people. How are you doing, Ella? How are you coping over in Canada?
Yeah, good. I am in Calgary in Canada. We are isolating. It's me and my parents here in the house, and yeah, it's been okay so far, keeping the spirits up. Delivered some groceries to my grandma. All good so far here.
Excellent. Let's get straight to the point, because I think if people are listening to this episode, it's most likely that they're going to have some kind of worries or anxiety surrounding what's happening. What doesn't help initially is actually the word pandemic. I mean, that just gives me anxiety. Mm. I mean, it could be anything, couldn't it? I prefer if there was an outbreak of ice cream, that would be great. You know, there's just ice cream. There's a pandemic of Neapolitan ice cream. That would be lovely. No, the word pandemic or epidemic, it just sounds very sinister. It is serious what's happening. But at the same time, if people are sensible and take precautions, we can be all right. This episode is also tailored to people who are affected by it, whether it's you personally or whether you know someone, or whether you're just actually really anxious and kind of feel very overwhelmed by the current events. What's it like over where you are, Ella? Things are kind of worrying around here.
Yeah, I think I said a few episodes ago when we were... Well, actually, I think it was when the WHO called this a pandemic and we were first talking about coronavirus very briefly in our last health anxiety episode. I was talking about how I personally on that day, March 11th, thought that it was just something that the news cycle was chewing on, and this was seeming like a really big thing because I wasn't used to watching TV news. Like, I haven't been doing that for a while. I think many people my age would be more familiar with you getting your news online or through those notifications and stuff. And so I just attributed some of the panic to news cycle and, you know, that rhythm. And my mom worked in the news my whole upbringing. And so I was very used to always having the TV on in the house. Even when she'd come home from work, you know, we're still watching the news. And I thought, honestly, it was a little bit overblown. But what I'm really thinking about now is because this is the word people keep using is unprecedented. This is a totally unprecedented situation. Countries are taking measures that we've never done before when it comes to helping people out in through economic relief, helping people by sending unemployment checks, setting up new unemployment systems, all sorts of stuff like that. It's wild. It's absolutely wild. What I was thinking about today as I went for my run, and yes, I did go for a run because I, you know, am getting more active just thinking about, you know, like, I think that's a very natural thing. You sort of, like, you're trying to do last minute measures to help protect yourself and to help get yourself healthier.
I've been social distancing from exercise, to be honest.
Okay, maybe not everybody, but maybe some people. Yeah, you sort of, you feel like when you get that anxiety, like, you get okay, I have to fix this right now. But as I did that, it also just helps, you know, obviously it's good for anxiety too, to just clear your head and get some fresh air and just whilst maintaining social distance, obviously. But what I really was thinking about was that I feel like, and this is before I did the exercise which you gave me, which we'll go into, that I feel like when you have experienced health anxiety already before this pandemic, and if you've experienced any type of anxiety, it feels like I'm on a pendulum swing. You know, it feels like I go from really, really, really worried to, oh, I'm just being totally silly and just avoiding it completely. And in this sort of situation, I would like to have my pendulum swinging a lot less and just be a little bit more down the middle, where the measures that we're taking, self-isolating, being a lot more cautious about the spread of germs. Just today, my dad got home from the grocery store. We put all of the fruit and vegetables in the sink and washed them with warm water before we took them out again. Like, just something you would never normally do, like, right away. And so we're taking these measures, and I'm just trying to find what's right down the middle, what's not avoiding it and not calling it silly or, you know, an overreaction or ignoring it, because it is serious, but also not letting it get to me and paralyze me with panic. So that's what I was thinking before.
Trying to find a nice middle ground.
Yeah. And I think that would resonate with people. I don't know.
I think so, yeah. I mean, first of all, if anyone's just tuned into this kind of episode first, we did do a previous episode on health anxiety. And in a nutshell, health anxiety is when we worry excessively over our health, and usually when we're plagued by intrusive thoughts about our health. So a headache suddenly becomes a brain tumor, a stomach ache becomes stomach cancer, feeling dizzy is an aneurysm or about to collapse, heart palpitations or a heart defect, etc. Or even panicking itself is something that means we're going insane. These are common examples of health anxiety. Also as well, it ties into OCD and intrusive thoughts. So if anyone has OCD, particularly if around cleanliness and germs and hand washing, and I know plenty of people in my personal life actually that do hand washing, that overlaps with health anxiety too, because there's this catastrophization that links everything together, and that is, if I don't do this, then something bad might happen. If I don't wash my hands, I might give my children salmonella. You know, if I don't worry that my heart's palpitating, it might actually lead to a heart attack or something like that. It's health anxiety. And 99% of the time, we know it's irrational. But because we feel in danger, because our anxious response kicks off at the same time, it convinces us that it could be real. And it doesn't matter how smart you are, it can convince you if you're not quite sure about what's happening. So I just wanted to kind of fill you in on that. Obviously, now is a time during a pandemic, so
it's a very different situation, you know, like when we can talk about general health anxiety, that's one thing. When we're talking about health anxiety overlapped with this pandemic, it's a whole other thing.
Of course, and you're right. I think that what's really nice is looking at where the middle ground is. The amount of people and a lot of my clients and people that have emailed me, you know, I think I've got it. I've got the virus. It's like, well, how do you know? I've got a headache. I'm finding it difficult to breathe. I was like, that sounds like the symptoms of anxiety. Yeah, but what if it's not? I don't know. Why don't you wait till you're calm and then see if it's still there? And every time so far, it's been, oh, yes, that's just calmed down. Yes. And usually, I mean, anxious people are the best people to rely on during a pandemic, because they will be overly cautious. They will be very kind of considerate and clean and keep social distancing and things. So if you're having a go at yourself for being anxious, actually know at this moment in time, the country could need people like you, particularly when people need to be sensible.
I also thought you were going to say that it could be that people who are experiencing health anxiety for the first time in this sort of situation, that people who have been experiencing health anxiety in the past might know some more measures to calm someone down or to have an outlet for that anxiety, like on top of the physiological thing. Like, people who have experienced anxiety are the leaders and the wise ones in the situation to help the other people calm down too, I think.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's really important to acknowledge that. I saw a post the other day, and if I've got time, I'll read it later. But it was from a woman in the UK, and she was saying something about panic buying, and she was saying actually what a lot of people with anxiety disorders are not doing it. Oh, I've got it here. Actually, I'll read it out. It's from a woman called Brittany Wood Downs. And she says, I saw someone say that people who have anxiety aren't panicking like everyone else is. We're not out here buying loads of toilet roll and toothpaste and such. And you know why? Because this is our normal state. To us, the world is ending every single day. And it's interesting, watching everyone act the way our brains think on a daily basis. It sucks, doesn't it? To be in this constant state of fear and helplessness. To feel the impending doom, but feel absolutely powerless about it. Welcome to our world. This is our everyday. Sincerely, everyone with severe anxiety. And I thought it was a very, very powerful quote, because actually, of all my clients that do have severe anxiety, not one of them has gone out to panic buy. You know, small kind of, you know, quantity to deduce conclusions from. But I just think that's really interesting. So I agree with you there. It's people with anxiety. Here's your role. You know, here's your chance.
Yeah, you've read a lot of books. You've listened to a lot of podcasts.
See everyone else being silly.
Yeah, help them out. Yeah, isn't that interesting? So, you know, in a way, if you're one of our podcast listeners, if you're listening to this now, like, it is just an unprecedented situation. And this is like the upside down world. And so having been someone who's experienced anxiety, I guess we're in a good position in this upside down world right now. And we can be thankful for all that we've experienced and all that we've learned before this, to have some stuff to share with the people who might be anxious for the first time. And we're able to rationalize those thoughts and words.
Excellent. Right. I'm going to personify people, the average listener with anxiety. And here we go. You're probably listening to this because your anxious brain is saying, what if? It's saying, what if I'm ill? What if I'm not ill and make someone else ill? What if this symptom means something? What if I do get it, or if I've already got it? And then what will happen is you'll have your voice inside called false comfort, which we spoke about all the way through the series. And that wants to immediately reassure you that you're okay. But actually it's counterproductive, because it makes you think that anxiety is important. So false comfort will say things like, well, keep an eye on it. Check your breath. Take a deep breath. Can you get a full breath? Is that cough real? Check if your throat. Keep swallowing. Is that right? Is that headache there? Is there another? If you're constantly self-analyzing and doing all these things, you're actually giving the anxious response the attention it does not deserve.
Mm.
You know, and the reason why we do it, and I'm going to go on to talking about the exercise that I set for you beforehand, mm-hmm. which I'm really interesting to hear, because I don't know the results of the exercise that we sent. But what's really interesting is that it isn't the coronavirus that scares us. It's not that. Because if you ask anyone with health anxiety or anyone anxious about it, it's not the disease. Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's scary. I don't want to have shortness of breath and coughing and a fever. I don't want that. You know, and I don't want anyone else to have it either. But ultimately, if we strip it down, it boils down to the fear that something's going to get you. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's in the media. It's in social media. It's an unknown. So the amygdala in our brain is going, it keeps being teased every day mm-hmm. by the news, by everything. Something's going to get you. Also, it's not helped by poor journalism either. I read a ridiculous article today saying, you know, this and that and blah, blah. I won't say it for trigger reasons, but like, I just like, that's such sensationalized news and you're scaring people. And even my amygdala was like going crazy, like, oh yeah, what if it's you? And I'm like, I'm not getting drawn into this. So yeah, just remember, it's not actually the illness. It's your belief in how you'll cope. You are coping fine. You're doing brilliantly. And if you're listening to this, you're not alone and you're doing fantastically. And there's nothing wrong with being anxious. You're allowed to be anxious. And even I'm self-proclaimed anxiety expert. I've been anxious about it too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fine today, though. I've been quite relaxed about it. Things are getting worse. I'm quite relaxed today. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's just my anxious response. Anyway, yeah, I sent you a task beforehand, didn't I, Ella? It was something called the vicious flower model. How did you think about that? Do you want to talk about
it? Yeah, for sure. So vicious flower model is, you sent me this picture, which if anyone out there Googles, you said it, if anyone out there Googles vicious flower model, CBT, then they'll be able to pull up a similar image. And just to describe it, just so people know that they've got the right image, you have this arrow going down that says external event. So, you know, something has triggered this thought pattern. And then it's what looks like a flower. There's like a circle in the center and these arrows which go around that look like petals all the way around it. And there's different things that are written on each petal, if you will, about sort of the loop that we can get into with health anxiety. So I think, yeah, let's go through it piece by piece and explain. So now that I've described what that image looks like, if you're just listening to the podcast, you could just kind of imagine that in your mind. But if you want to do this yourself, Josh sent me the task of this model has headings on each of those petals and you fill in what that means to you. So what each of those generalized loop cycles actually mean in your daily life, kind of thing.
That's really well put. Before you kind of talk through yours, I'll just conceptualize it a bit as well, just to add to it, if that's okay. Kind of just, if you just imagine like a little daisy, and what happens is people with anxiety, health anxiety, they'll have a trigger. So for me, once upon a time, I had a preoccupation with the fact that I thought I had a brain tumor. So every time I felt something weird in my head or felt dizzy, that would be my trigger. It would trigger my anxious response. And then that would lead to a preoccupation with this false belief that I had a kind of brain tumor or something. So I put this false belief right in the middle of this flower, preoccupation with health or an illness problem. Now, a lot of you would probably put, have I got coronavirus or will coronavirus kill me in the middle of this flower?
Right.
But the petals all have their own titles. And the first one is avoidance. The second one is checking behavior. The third one is a mental activity such as worry or appraisal of symptoms or checking if these are indications of a serious illness. The fourth out of the five petals is increased physiological arousal, so it's the fight or flight, feeling tense, noticing the tension in your body. And the fifth one is seeking reassurance, so constantly Googling, checking online, asking your partner for help, or continuously annoying your doctor. And what happens is this whole thing starts a loop. So you jump from petal to petal to petal to petal to petal to petal, and you just jump around the center of that petal, and that is that preoccupation with this false belief that you have a health problem or an illness problem. So Ella's going to talk us through hers, which very bravely and courageously, I really commend that for going on and talking about it. Well, what's kind of, talk us through yours, Ella.
Yeah, so you have the external event or internal symptoms. For me, I actually have, it's been a health anxiety that I've brought up with my doctor in the past, so I'm actually going to talk about it. That is, I just realized this is the big one that isn't coronavirus related. So this will be good because it's still leaving people the ability to go online, do this themselves. They can do it for health anxiety in the future, or maybe for coronavirus themselves. But actually, this is one that I have had the reassurance from my doctor that there is no issue when it comes to my immune system. But I'm like worried about, I get health anxiety just about my immune system in general. So that kind of relates to coronavirus anxiety. For my avoidance, I find...
So that would be in the middle of your flower.
That would be the middle of that.
The core belief in the middle of... Is there something wrong with my immune system?
Yeah, there's something wrong with my immune system, my lymphatic system. That I've already had reassurance from a doctor that isn't the case, but nevertheless.
So you had factual reassurance that you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so for my avoidance, that usually just manifests in, like I say, with that pendulum swinging, I kind of just freeze, you know? I kind of just remain frozen, thinking about it, dwelling on it, and I'll find it hard to focus whenever these things come up. I find it really hard to get into like deep work. So under my avoidance, I don't do any work. I remain frozen, think about it, not forgetting about it, but not panicking. So kind of that like state in between. Okay. When it comes to checking behavior, I wrote down that I will touch my throat. I'll check my throat. I'll feel my lymph nodes. I'll think, are they bigger than normal? Is this normal? I'll look in the mirror. I even go in the mirror and put a flashlight in my mouth and try to look inside my mouth to see if there's anything wrong. When for the next pedal, it's a mental activity. Like I say before, just feeling frozen, thinking about it, not forgetting about it. Kind of along those lines, I will maybe think about bringing it up with family, or I will bring it up with family, or I'll think about who else can I talk to you about this. If I'm not going to go to the doctor right away, is there anyone else in my life that I can talk to about it? For the next one, the increased physiological symptoms besides the mental activity, like you, I wrote, I feel on edge. I feel I might notice some tension somewhere else in my body, that I'm kind of frozen. Just that constant checking, like still I'll even notice, you know, I'll be sat with maybe my hand on my chin at my desk, and then soon just that hand on my chin becomes checking again. That's like checking and touching my neck, like thinking if there's something else wrong. And reassurance seeking, checking online, you know, going anything that's like WebMD symptoms websites, trying to
think. The ultimate of false comforts.
Yes. Yeah. And it's something that I've actually talked about with my doctor, of, and she's tried to be very reasonable and strike that balance of like, it's good to want to care about your health. You know, it's good to try to do a bit of research now and then on certain things, but it's not a good hole to go down. And you know that. And I was like, yeah, I'll check online. I will bring it up with family. If the topic of health comes up in a conversation with a friend, then I'll just feel very selfish and just start talking about this because I just want to talk to someone about it.
Not so selfish, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's really, and what do you think maintains that cycle? So the petals keep it going round.
Yeah.
What do you think maintains it?
Yeah. I think when it goes back to avoidance, when it starts that cycle all over again, to be honest, you know, we had been messaging before this that we both have felt a little bit of our own health anxiety when it does come to coronavirus. So certainly what's put this more in a loop, this external thing that's not to do with coronavirus in more of a loop, has been whenever there's another, like, something that's on the radio about coronavirus, or you hear another story of someone's age and what their experience was it severe, was it not severe. So sometimes that's triggered from something from the outside that just makes me go, oh yeah, I should have dealt with this now, like I should have more reassurance about my immune system and more reassurance about this whole thing than I have before this thing hits, kind of thing. So sometimes it is external. Sometimes it's so small, like, and this was something that I did bring up with my doctor, and she said it's a muscle spasm. Like, it would be, you know, times where I have a little twingy pain in the part of my back or front or something, and I completely forget that, like, oh yeah, when I was doing yoga yesterday, I really stretched out that muscle, so that's why it's kind of freaking out today, and that's why I had a twinge of pain.
So what happens is at the center of your flower, this core belief that, oh my god, there's something wrong with my immune system, the anxious response kicks off to anything incongruous that happens, a spasm or something else, something in the back of your throat. And what our behavior does, and this is the very CBT approach to things, is that it maintains that cycle. You basically pat the amygdala on the back, the anxious response on the back, saying, thank you for looking out for me, that's great. And to break that cycle, you stop avoiding, you realize that reassurance seeking is empty. You can use factual reassurance. So if the doctor says you're fine, you're fine, you know. If you want a second opinion, whatever, that's cool too. But in general, and you notice anxiety is dictating when you suddenly stop what you're originally doing, and you find your head caught up in it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of listeners can kind of relate to that too.
Absolutely.
Because if you put I think I may have coronavirus, or I think my anxiety may spike because of coronavirus. What you've got there is, if you look at each individual tenet or petal from this diagram, is that checking behavior. I wonder how many people listen to this that check.
Mm.
Constantly checking their breathing, their temperature, their head, everything like that. And I've even fallen for it too, actually, a couple of times. Worrying about it, imagining scenarios about them having it, imagining that loved ones are having it, and having intrusive thoughts. The third petal, increased physiological arousal and anxious response. So it keeps that anxiety going up and up and up, keeps maintaining it. Then reassuring, so asking people, have I got it? Googling, doing stuff like that, asking people in the vicinity. And then avoiding doing stuff. Okay, as it currently stands, we're on lockdown, so we're going to have to avoid doing certain things. But avoiding doing things in general, like, overly cleaning to the point of excess.
Mm.
Doing things like that. Avoidance is actually a difficult one to look at that. But just looking at that kind of cycle. The key here, and it always is, my main message with everything with anxiety is, it's not the event, it's our interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we turn off that anxious response, we can always have that kind of calm clarity towards certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So, 99% of me knows I don't have an illness. But if I'm anxious, then I'm going to feel like I have that illness, and it's going to feel very real. In your example, 99% of you knows that you don't have an autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're anxious, it makes it feel a lot more real.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it feel very close. It makes it feel very imminent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not imminent. It's the same odds. It's just a trick.
Mm-hmm.
You can never get 100% reassurance.
Mm.
But go with what your rational brain would go. Behave like how your rational brain would behave.
Yeah.
And
the other thing that, sorry to interrupt, before we go to ultimately, the other thing that I've just been thinking about a lot has been, like, keeping things in perspective, and when, not to add an even other layer of, not guilting myself on top of this whole thing, but to really keep it in perspective, to think that there are people who are at risk right now, who have been living with conditions leading up to this thing, and what would they be like if they didn't have anxiety about this? How would they be living their life,
Oh gosh, I've got an uncle who he's been on death's doorstep for 20 years. He's not even that bothered, because his anxious response isn't, he's afraid of death, as we all are,
mm-hmm.
but his anxious response isn't firing off.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm, touch wood, relatively, very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, the worst part of coronavirus is worrying about getting coronavirus.
Yeah.
Whereas I've got a friend at the moment who has coronavirus, and he's like, yeah, I'll be all right.
Mm.
Self-isolating, I feel like rubbish, and I'm taking it seriously, but I'm not panicking, I'm just getting some reading done. I'm sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there with absolute envy. I'm like, how dare you? How dare you be so calm?
Mm.
My amygdala fires off if there's a stiff breeze.
And I'm healthy.
And you're there. Yeah. And I'm healthy. Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. But at the same time, I'm not going to put myself down. Anxiety is a very powerful thing. And the same with you. Like, it latches onto things. And I really appreciate you kind of sharing that as well. It's really brave and courageous to do that.
And I found it very useful. And so, I really would, like we set it up, I really would recommend, if you're at home and you find that you're in these loops, it was really useful to name it. So Googling that vicious flower.
Yeah. And if you want to chat about it or have any reflections, please send it in to the email talk@thepanicroom.co.uk.
You can even
talk@thepanicroom.co.uk.
You could even send in your flower, if you are comfortable with doing that and want to show the process, we would be happy to.
Yeah, I'll send it in anonymously.
Yeah,
and we'll
for
have
sure.
A look at it. Yeah. But if you're happy with it, I think it's really good. What's interesting during this episode as well, I just had an anxious response about 10 minutes ago.
Mm.
I had this pulsing in my ear, and I've never had that before. And it triggered something, a fear of, oh my God, what if there's something wrong with me or my brain or whatever. And then I was checking and stuff like that, and I wanted to seek reassurance and blah, blah, blah. But I didn't. What I did is I thought, well, the likelihood it's probably okay, so I'm going to commit to the podcast.
Mm.
And 5-6 minutes later, the anxious response stopped.
Mm.
I stopped that cycle before it started to become a cycle.
Mm.
It helped because I've got you here, Ella, so I'm chatting. But I can, hopefully people at home can understand how habits and how the temptation to go down that route to keep that flower spinning is there.
Yeah.
Thankfully the pulsing stopped, but even so, if it carried on, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, I'll do the same thing.
And the wild thing about your body doing the magic stuff that it does to take care of itself, and I mean, obviously it's not magic, it's our highly evolved system of cleaning ourselves and taking care of ourselves. Like, the wild thing is, much like my muscle spasm or muscle tension as a result of like having exercised, when our body is healing itself, these unexpected feelings happen and we don't really fully know what's going on there. But if we do the practical thing of just doing what's in your power, like beyond these measures that we're taking to self-isolate and clean, like I am thinking a lot more these days about what does this mean for my lifetime. Maybe there's anxiety that's being created here because I don't feel so happy in my routine health habits, and so that's something that I have to remember, not now, but I have to just take a more sober look at that when this whole thing has passed. And if you're out there listening to this and maybe you've had similar thoughts of, oh, like now I'm realizing how much sugar I eat all the time and that started to be both an addiction and also I can't stop doing it right now, even though I know that I should. And I think there's the people who are overcoming issues with abusing alcohol or drugs. And this is that time as well where you're both wanting to rely on those things to keep calm, but then feeling so guilty about not being healthy at this time, just in case this does affect you. That's a very weird loop to be in. And so I'm trying to remind myself like that the rational look at this is for the rest of the year. Is just if there is something that you're thinking about, I've just this year got a paper diary and I'm finding it very relaxing to just like put little notes in it for myself later in the year. And so this is sort of thing of like writing a note, like check in on your health 4 months from now and assess some of the things that I was thinking about now, but to think about it in a more rational way. Am I meeting the goals of how much water I want to drink and how much exercise I want to have? What's more important is how that's going long term, not this sort of panic buying of our own health that's happening right before this thing affects our community. But yeah, I've found that's been tricky, doing what's in your power. I think that's kind of another thing that I wanted to bring up here. I think we're definitely in this weird dystopic timeline of there just little things have been hitting me that, you know, we just have to name that they're weird. Like my mom watches basketball. She's like a huge Raptors fan and they've like hockey's been canceled. Basketball's been canceled. And so she was watching, they're doing like a highlights series of games that they're showing. And on Canadian TV within these games, on the ad breaks, they had ads for like washing your hands, like public service announcements for washing your hands and messages of support from the different basketball players and stuff like that. And that just is not, this is just not normal. And that's okay to say. It's okay to say that we are not living in a very normal time.
It's okay to be anxious. I think that's a lovely message. It's okay to be a bit anxious.
Yeah, because it's not
normal. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and feel a bit anxious.
Yeah.
And I'll look at my 5 minutes of news, and then it's okay not to keep an eye on the news.
Yeah.
Because the news does trigger my anxious response. I'll learn what I need to learn, and then I'm going to switch off and look after myself for the rest of the day. And that's okay too. You're not running away. That isn't avoidance. That's just enough's enough. I know self-care is very important here. I just recently did kind of a video for the BBC about self-care at home during all of this. So if you're having to self-isolate and do all those things, look after yourself. you know, that your universe has shrank temporarily, so make sure whatever's happening in it is nice and conducive for positivity in your life. So get on with the people around you, do things that you like. I'm going to chill out after this podcast and put my feet up, maybe read a book or play the games console or something. Make it kind of good for, you know, good for you and people around you. If you don't get on with people in your environment, try your best to be diplomatic. Just try and keep things as still as you can during all of this. It's okay to be anxious, and that'll probably be, that's my message all the time, but particularly now.
Mm-hmm. It's been so nice having friends at the moment who have had a bad day and are just open and honest about it. And I know I have a lot of friends in the comedy music world who are like live streaming or like just sharing a lot of stuff right now, and I felt so liberated. And really, this thought comes from thanks to you and what we've talked about on this podcast so far. I went on the other day and just went, I'm really anxious, I'm really scared of this, and I don't want to keep ignoring it. And I had a couple friends call into my Instagram live stream, and one of them, it was super goofy and we just kind of mucked around a bit, and the other one, we just had this really nice, really honest chat about how we were feeling anxious. And wow, that was so nice. I felt so much better. And even when friends are posting like, I had a really bad day yesterday, I hope today's better, I feel like to them, when they're getting comments on that and when people are reaching out, like it's reassuring. And whether that is through social media or whether you're just giving someone a call, you don't have to go on a live stream or share it to your entire friends list to do that, but being honest about it, man, it really does help sometimes.
Yeah, it takes it off. And going all the way back to the jog analogy, it kind of it pours some out. And your jog is naturally going to be full at the moment anyway. But pour some out, make things easier on yourself. And it's okay to be anxious, you know. I've always been open and honest about it. I don't see it as weakness. I think it's quite stupid that people do see it as weakness, to be honest. But that's another story. If you listen at home, look after yourself. Remember, deep down, it's not actually the virus. It's about we're fearing fear. We fear how we'll cope. And you will cope. And you can cope regardless. People always underestimate their own ability to cope, their own ability to adapt. And here's a chance to kind of prove yourself wrong. It's just the unknown as well. Nothing's going to get you. Just be sensible. Share stuff. Even I get anxious now and then, and even though I pontificate giving anxiety advice, I get anxious now and then, and Ella does too, and she's so bravely shared today. Feel free to send in some questions. You look after yourself, and I look forward to kind of doing our next podcast, Ella. We'll have a chat afterwards as to what we can talk about next. That's up to you.
We love all you out there. Stay happy, stay safe, stay chill.
Yeah, stay happy, stay safe, and stay chill as best you can. All right, thanks, Ella. I'll speak to you next time.
Thanks, Josh. Bye.